I think most of us in here recognize that there are different things that we do every day. We call them routines. We follow them even without even thinking about it. We do things like, for instance, we wash our hands with soap. Hopefully you're, you know, right? We're using soap, and that's just, we don't even think about it. It's just right there. We push that little gizmo down on the top. Boom, we push it down. The soap comes out. Or now, you know, in these washrooms across when you're traveling in different places, you don't even have to push any gizmos anymore. You just put your hand underneath it. It senses your hand, and it squirts out some soap, and away you go, and you wash your hand. These are routines. Other things like, brushing our teeth every day or maybe multiple times in a day. These are routines. Looking in a mirror, as the Bible tells us. We'll look at that in a moment. Maybe you even look in a mirror multiple times in a day. And usually we do that before we leave the house, hopefully, right? And maybe you can tell if somebody hasn't done that and you're trying to, you know, maybe politely tell them something is really out of place. And you're trying to let them know, hey, you know, you got this big chunk of breakfast over here. You missed it, you know, and you're let them know. And so these are routines. They're things that we do, and we don't even think about it. We don't want to take that mentality into our time in the Word of God. You realize we can even open the Bible every day, 365 days a year and 366 in leap year, and not even think about what we're reading. I think it happens more often than we care to think. We've all had that type of Bible experience where we close our Bible and then we kind of like, what did I just read? I can't even remember what I just read, and that's only been 5 minutes. So I'm not saying this is just one person. All of us have this experience, but I'm saying we want to limit that, because we don't want to take the Bible as we do the routines of life. It is not routine. Yes, it should be part of our routine, but we should not go into it without even thinking. God did not create you and me with the idea of being a puppet where God just directs us everywhere and God makes all the moves for us and God does everything. Yes, God is sovereign and over all, but he's given all of us a free will. And we should take that free will, especially when we go into the Bible, with a mind that is ready to think, what does God have for me this morning? What does God have for me in this message, in this sermon this morning? What does God have for me at youth class tonight? Teenagers, when you go into youth class, you should not be thinking, you should not be on your phone, you should not be scrolling and looking, and who am I going to meet with tomorrow? Put that thing away, and what am I going to hear when I'm at youth class? I'm ready to hear something. Every time we go a place where the Bible is open, that ought to be our thought. Whether we're 7 years old or 77 years old, and everywhere in between, we are beholding our face in the Word of God. While we don't have to always hold it up like this and have our face in it, when the Bible is preached, we want to be able to look into whatever the man of God, by the Word of God, that God gave that teacher or preacher or Brother Chauvin or the missionaries that come through here, whatever it may be, God gave them something specific for us, and we want to behold our face. Beholding is different than looking. We're going to talk about that. I think too many times all we do is look. Right? It's just look and then look. And no, behold is deeper. Way deeper. And that's what I'm praying that you and I would be able to grow into. Not that we don't do it at all, but that we would make it more, that would be more of the routine than just getting through the reading for the day. It's looking, it's beholding, grabbing something out of it. Mirrors in the time of our writing here today, mirrors were not like our mirrors today. They were more of a polished brass, but it's still served the same purpose, to look into that polished brass to see if anything was out of place or out of order that needed to be put back into order. The mirror, its sole purpose is to reveal. And now they have these mirrors that you look in and your face is like 45 times the size of its normal thing. And you can really zoom in and you can really look in that. And I think we even heard a little bit about that this week, even at one of the Bible messages, now that I'm thinking about it, where one of the preachers talked about how that you can look into a mirror and see all the crevices of your face, and we'll move on from there, okay? But look at verse 25. James says, by the Spirit of God, but whoso looketh, that word looketh there has the idea of stooping down to get a good look at it. Stooping down, he that looketh. So that means if I'm stooping down, if I'm really getting close to whatever it may be, I have to stop everything. I can't be distracted by whatever it may be. Stoopeth, or looketh, excuse me, it's stooping down, into the perfect law of liberty. Let's stop and think about that for a minute. Perfect law of liberty. Hold your place there, and let's go over to John's gospel, the gospel according to John, chapter number 8. Think about that for a second. Perfect law of liberty. What is it that will bring liberty in one's life? What is it that truly brings liberty? Well, let's see what John writes about this. John chapter number 8, verse 30. As he spake these words, many believed on him. All right, that's good. That's good. So that's good. Maybe that's not discipleship level. Then notice what he says in verse 31, where what it says. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. So believing doesn't make someone a disciple. Continuing in the word after believing makes someone a disciple, per Jesus Christ, not per Pastor Turner. Look at verse 32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Liberty. So let's just look at it. We don't have to spend a lot of time here, but let's just piece it all together. So then what brings true liberty? You might say on the surface, we might say the Word of God brings true liberty. Now, I will say yes to that, but I'll have to also say we have to talk more about this. Everybody in here that has a copy of the Bible in your lap right now, you have the source of true liberty in your possession. But holding that book in your hand does not bring liberty in your life, nor does it in my life. Holding it, right? I don't know how many copies of the Bible I have. That's not the point. I only need one, really. But I don't just need to have a copy of the Bible. There's something else Jesus said here that is, I think, missing in many of our lives from time to time. I believe the Bible's the Word of God. I believe the Bible's inspired. I believe it's, you know, it is liberty. I believe it is powerful. But wait a minute. He said, if ye continue. Maybe you would write the word application beside that. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And on that same context, he said, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It is my firm belief that yes, the Bible is the word of God. Yes, it is all powerful. Yes, it brings liberty. But if all we do is assent to that in our mind and we don't live it out, we are not in true liberty. Because it is the application of the Word of God. It's like the man who looks in the mirror in James chapter number 1 and says, yep, that's a mirror. Yep, I've got eye boogers coming out right here. Yep, I've got eggs over here. Walks away and does nothing. You know what happens many times on Sunday? We say, yes, that's good preaching. Yes, that's the Word of God. Yes, that's really good. And we leave here the same way we came. Did we have the source of liberty? Yes or no? Yes. If you're saved, you have the Spirit of God inside of you. But it's not just assenting and hearing it and taking it all in and having it in my mind and putting it out. No, we comment on this verse time and time again in church, verse 22. But be ye doers of the word. This is where the liberty comes. The liberty comes for the Christian when I take it all in and I hear the preaching and I hear the teaching and the Holy Spirit of God says, this is what you need to, this is what you're, this was, this, this is for you today. This is for you today over here. This is for you back in the back. This is for you up here in the front. And the Holy Spirit of God makes it evident that this was for you, this particular verse, this particular point, whatever it may be, and something needs to change. But if we walk out that door or that door over there and nothing ever changes, I submit to you, we're not experiencing the liberty that God wants us to experience. Just because we have the Word of God in our hands and in our head, by the grace of God, may it move down to the heart. By the grace of God, may it actually make a difference in your home, in my life, in the way that I decide to do things, in the decisions that I make. I know I said the same thing twice, but our decision-making ought to be based on what Scripture has to say, not on what I feel like. My feelings keep me captive. And you know that's true about your life too. Liberty comes, freedom comes, when I choose to continue in the Word of God. This way, this shows us that somebody who's been saved 1 year could have more liberty than someone who's been saved 30 years. That to me is the most challenging thing. I've been saved since I was 9. I'm 52. Just do a quick little math there. That's a long time. That does not mean I have the liberty that God wants me to have just because I've been saved for many years. So you can say here this morning, yeah, I didn't get saved when I was 9. I got saved 2 years ago. Great. We're on the same plane. I mean, yes, I may know a little bit more about certain things in the Word of God. Doesn't make me better than you. Doesn't mean I have more liberty than you. How we have liberty in our life is this truth here today. Do you want true liberty? The only way it's going to come is if we say yes each time the Word of God is opened, whether it's from the pulpit or in your lap at home at 7 a.m., 6 a.m., 5 a.m., in the evening, whenever you do your Bible reading, when you open it, you're saying, I'm going to say yes to this. That's when liberty comes, when we continue in the Word of God. So back to our text, James 1. Quick comment as you're turning back there. Nothing will bring liberty like obedience to the Word of God. Here's what I wrote down. Reading it and not obeying it will never lead to liberty. You're still, and I'm still, in bondage. Doesn't have to be that way. Our God paid a great price, not just so that we could go to heaven and be on a street of gold and see the gate of pearl, and be with all the saints from beforehand. I mean, that's great, but honestly, if that's the only part of getting saved that is in our mind's eye, we're going to have a miserable life. God saved us to have liberty now. God saved us to have victory now. And when we behold our face in the Word of God, we've got to be willing not just to see the faults, because, I mean, we all know our faults. You're probably your greatest critic. I know I'm my greatest critic. So maybe we know what needs to be done, but we need to apply. We need to apply the Scriptures. It's biblical principles that bring liberty in our thought process. It's biblical principles that bring liberty in our relationships. It's biblical principles and the application of them that bring true liberty, beholding our face in the Word of God. Warren Wiersbe said this, living the Christian life is not bondage, it is wonderful liberty. Living the Christian life is not bondage, it is wonderful liberty. We can never improve the Word of God. I'm not saying that at all today. You cannot find anything comparable to the power of the Word of God. I'm not saying that at all today. I think you know that. You cannot find errors in the Word of God. It is perfect because God is perfect. Go over to Romans 10. Romans 10, please. I'm all for Bible reading, don't get me wrong. You should have a Bible reading plan. Every believer ought to have a plan to read God's word. Don't just open the word of God up and let the Bible fall and read there. Have a plan. If you want to do it that way, have that be your secondary time. But have a plan. But it's not just having a plan to read the Bible. Also set out to say, God, I am not able to follow what I'm about to read. So God, by your grace in my life, which is not just for salvation, it's also for sanctification. By your grace in my life, I don't want to just read these words today. I want to actually do what it says so that I can bring you more glory. So read the word of God, yes. Gobble it up, but it's not just to gobble it up. It's to actually live it. That's where the true power and liberty of the word of God comes. Romans 10. It's a verse maybe you've memorized as well. Verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing. This perfect law of liberty is why I'm showing you that verse. This perfect law of liberty. Back to verse 25, you can tie that to Romans 10, 17. I believe that this law referred to here is the law of faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So just do a little bit of tracing here. God's word always sets people free. Free from Satan, but also free from sin. Free from self. There's your three-point outline when you go preach at the prison, guys. Okay, we got a prison ministry conference coming up, by the way. I'll tell you more about that. It's going to be right here. We have a man from Rock of Ages Prison Ministry coming to do a seminar and preaching. It's for ladies as well, and Metro is going to be involved in it, and they're letting us come. So we'll tell you more about that later. But it sets us free. There is liberty in Christ. There is liberty in the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. This perfect law of liberty. James 1 again, if you would please. Just quickly, some observations, really. The first one is this. We see a very foolish decision. A foolish decision. And I've already kind of preached this already, but let's just talk about it a little bit more, okay? Verse 23. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer. So, hearing the word of God, Sunday school class, Sunday morning, gospel Farsi ministry, Zoom calls, Saturday morning even, we try to give a little bit of something on Saturday mornings, not very long. Your Bible reading, 7 days a week, that's a hearer of the word of God, reading it, listening to it preached. Maybe you're listening to a podcast, something, just whatever. A lot of Bible. Praise the Lord. But he says, if any man be a hearer of the word, not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway, which means immediately. Mark's gospel is that way, right? It's fast-paced. Immediately. Forgetteth what manner of man he was. This verse, as I said earlier, in a sense, is describing these verses, 23 and 24. They're describing someone, pardon me, who reads God's word and makes no personal application. If you are very ill and you have a need for medicine or maybe some kind of natural supplement, And you find out that this could help you, this could maybe bring a cure, this could maybe relieve the pain or whatever it may be, and you find out about it. In fact, so what we call this is knowledge. Knowledge. I found out that this particular herbal supplement will help me. I found out that this particular whatever will help me, and so I take them because I hear about it, and the knowledge is there, but if I don't take them and I only have the knowledge, right? I mean, they're there. I know. There's studies on this, and I'm not the first guinea pig in the line here. There's studies on this, and I know it works. It's a terrible illustration, but it's the way I think. Okay, and maybe it'll help you. We have all of this, and it's there, and we know that it's good. but we never take it. We never drink it. Then this is like the man in James chapter 1. Yeah, this is great. I mean, I know this is going to work. This has worked with, 10 out of 10 people have had some kind of help with this supplement or this medicine or whatever. Folks, we have, spiritually speaking, the greatest cure ever right here. 66 books, 2 testaments, 39 and 27. We have the prophets. We have poetry. We have it all. We have, prophecy. We have the prophets, the minors, and the majors. And we've got it all in here. We've got the gospels, the life of Christ, and all of these things, the church, Acts, and onward, and so forth. We know it's God's word. We know it is the main course. It's not a supplement at all. It is the main course for our soul to be strengthened in might by the inner man. We know it. I think most of you in here have known that for a long time, that the Bible is the word of God. It is the solution. It is the source. It is whatever it may be. Knowledge is great, but unless knowledge leads us to application, then it's really a waste. God's word is not a waste. It's the fact that I know God's word will help me and I don't do anything about it. That is the waste. Me wasting what God has given me. And now, if you're not even opening the word of God and reading it, that's a double waste. If the only time you open this book is at church, that's really a waste. But it's not as bad, but it's getting there, really, even just to know it and do nothing about it. James said it. He said, it's like a man who saw everything that needed to be done, and that's what God's word does. It reveals everything in your life and my life that needs to be repaired and helped and challenged and strengthened. And it's not all negative. It's revealing the goodness of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God. It's showing us all these things that are passing through our mind, and we want it to not just be knowledge. He said that straightway, forgetteth. That's it. Boom, done. And that's the thing. When we come to church, I mean, yes, we're not going to be quizzed over 66 or over 52 weeks of sermons, but we want the application. We want something to grab a hold of us when we read the Word of God. It'll be amazing when you read the Word of God, and then later that day, or maybe the next day, something comes up and it's right from your Bible reading. I love it when God does that. And by the way, I think God wants to do it all the time, but I'm just not alert to it all the time. It's not, I love it when God does it, because God's doing it all the time. I love it when I actually catch it. I need to pray, God, help me to catch it. I need a bigger catcher's mitt, right? I need to be ready, because sometimes it might be a curveball, it might be a split finger, it might be a fastball. Boom, I can catch it. Wow. Yeah, I know God hit me with that one. God has so much. He wants us to not just know, but God has so much he wants us to do. That's why really this building right here should be packed and jammed every Sunday. We should have standing room only. You know why? Because this word tells us not to miss church. This is not the word of the pastor. This is the word of God. Hebrews 10:25, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, and so much the more exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. I'm not talking about people that are sick. I'm talking about people that it should be packed and jammed. Not with lost people, with Christians. But because we aren't letting the word of God affect what we decide to do, Sunday mornings are, let me just see how it's going. It should never be that way for a Christian. Barring health, hospitalization, whatever. I'm not talking about those exceptions, okay? Those are real. I had them. I was in the hospital. I know what it means to be in the hospital on Sunday. I hated every second of it. But when we get up in the morning and we're just, I'm just a little tired. I'm not going to go to church today. That shows that the Word of God hasn't really made a deep impact in our life. There are people all over this world that would love to come to a church like this, but they can't. Or they would be killed if somebody found out about it. But my little pinky finger, it's sore, so I'm going to have to stay home and watch the live stream today. No. See, when we let this make decisions for us, remember, our flesh is weak, okay? Believe me, there's nobody in this room that belittles pain. I would never belittle pain. Believe me, I could write a book on it over the last 3 years. I'm just saying, praise the Lord for his grace. But my Savior endured something far greater when my sin was placed upon him on the cross and your sin was placed upon him. And when we really learn what all was happening there, it will help us to live our Christian life. Again, it's not that if you come to church, you're more spiritual than somebody else. That's not why we do it. We do it because we love God, and we do it because we know it's right. Again, the Word of God makes an impact on what we decide to do. Not what's popular. By the way, this will help us in peer pressure. Peer pressure is real. It's not just for teenagers, it's for adults too. Don't let peer pressure be the deciding factor in what you do. By the way, it's never right to do wrong in order to get a chance to do right. Think about that for a minute. It's never right to do wrong in order to get a chance to do right. Always follow God's word. Always. It's foolish to look into the Word of God, close it, and then everything stays the same. That is a foolish decision. There's no reason for me to live that way. There's no reason for you to live that way. We want to be a soldier. And the soldier in the army of the Lord, you know what? Sometimes soldiers get shot at. We got to follow the captain. We got to follow the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is no time to take a seat and say, I'm done. No, this is the time to get into the Word of God and let the Word of God make decisions for us. By the way, it'll never make a wrong decision for you. It'll always make a decision that honors God. You open this book up and it tells you not to be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. And then we close it and we marry a lost person. Wait a minute. I love her. Wait a minute. I love him. Wait a minute. What does the Word of God say? Word of God says, don't marry a lost person. That's one application for that verse. And then we close it and we go do it. And we want God to bless it. Time out. God doesn't bless sin. Now, if you married an unsaved person, you're married in here today, that person is your spouse. Do not divorce your spouse because they're not saved. Because once you get married, then it's the will of God, stay married. I need to pray for that spouse to get saved. I'm just saying, if you still have the idea of wanting to get married one day, you're single here, and you have that goal, let the Word of God guide your decision-making process. Not your red blood, gentlemen. I'm trying to be appropriate, okay? If they're not saved, don't even start it. Don't even start it. Why? Because the Bible says. To go even into it a little bit is to see you've got egg on your face and you don't even wipe it off. That's what the Bible says. That's what it's like. Okay? I'm trying to help you. Believe me, I'm trying to help you. And there are people here today that could back me up. They're not preachers, but they could back me up and say, yes, you need to listen right there. That is very important that you listen to that. I'm thankful for the grace of God. I don't think I have in this way a judgmental bone in my body, but I know what it causes down the road. It's not easy, and it's not God's plan. So you can look into whatever decision you need to make. What I'm saying is today we are looking into the Word of God to know, as James said, we are beholding our face. We are gazing into the Word of God so that we know what to do. So we have a very foolish decision here. Then let's notice verses 23 and 24 again. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Now we have, number two, a forceful comparison. A forceful comparison. This is kind of summary. We've learned that the mirror, the God's word, is a mirror. Now, so Two things that a mirror reveals. Number one, a mirror reveals what we are. But I believe, secondly, a mirror reveals what we should be. Right? Let me just stand up here. Please. Pardon me. So when I look in the mirror and I see what I am and I think, oh boy, we got to do some work. You know, get the chisel out, Brother Jose. We got to do some work on this face. Get the jackhammer. That's what I mean, you know. We got to do some work. I mean, creams and potions and lotions and sprays. I mean, you know, and some cologne. Right, Jay? We were talking about cologne this week in the cabin. We didn't have hot water. We were like in Uganda for about 2 days over there, by the way. I didn't want to tell anybody that. You won't want to go next year. But anyway, they got it fixed. We were cologning it, extra deodorant. I mean, it was layered on there. But oh, boy. Thankfully, it was just guys in our cabin. But, you know, it reveals what I am. But then, you know, sometimes I'm not being prideful about this, and I'm not saying stir up pride, but when we get everything as we want it to be, and we look at the mirror again, and it reveals, okay, all right, I can at least go out into public now. You know, I've at least got it in order here. So it reveals what I am, but it also reveals what I should be. And then think about this. Reveals, when we think about the Word of God, it reveals me. But also, what do we want to see, spiritually speaking? Let's just bring this into a spiritual correlation here. What do we want to see? We don't even want to see us at all. We want to see Christ. So a mirror says, wow, look at that guy. He needs a lot of help. Here's how. And the mirror says, guess what? I can help you fix that. God's word has never failed one time. I have failed way too many times. But when the Word of God comes to me and I apply it, guess what happens? The Word of God is successful every time. And I no longer see me, I see Christ. It can happen to all of us all the time. As we gaze into the Word of God. A mirror reveals. It reveals what I was, but it reveals what I am now in Christ. And as you read the Word of God and you behold yourself in the Word of God, the mirror of the Word of God, He takes you as you are and me as I am. And we have so much, but God is so greater than all of our faults and failures. And He does the greatest makeup job of all time. And I mean, he doesn't even need makeup. He just does what He does. It's the Word of God, the Spirit of God. And then we see Christ. This week we went to Sandpoint, Idaho for a little while. It's just a very small little, I don't even know how to describe Sandpoint, Idaho, but you got some unique little stores there, and it's just a very small community. But we went and we walked around a little bit, and Brother Kim and I were with a couple of other men from Tennessee, and we were just looking at things, and I needed to find a washroom, pardon me, and we weren't anywhere near a washroom. So I had to call up my Uber driver, Brother Nick Pruitt said, if you need me, call me. I'll come wherever you are. I can't move very fast, you know. So I called up my Uber driver. He's not my Uber driver. He was driving the bus. And it's not a very big, anyway, he found us and he got us over to Arby's. If you've never been to an Arby's, you're not living. You need to find an Arby's and go to one, okay? We didn't eat roast beef, but they have excellent roast beef. Anyway, so we went there and we ordered a coffee, and these two ladies were there, and one of them was named Hope. I couldn't forget her name because we gave him a Hope track. The other's name was, I think, Harlan or something like that. It started with an H as well. Boy, these young ladies, they were just talking. I'm like, man, I am not used to somebody engaging in conversation like this. It was really amazing. When we handed them the track, this is to the glory of God, when we handed them the track, I don't remember which one of them, but one of them said, so it was Nick, Brother Kim, and myself. One of them said, I knew you were church people. Amen. By the way, I did not have a suit and tie on. You know what they saw? They did not see Ben Turner. They did not see Andrew Kim. They did not see Nick Pruitt. This is only by the grace of God. They saw Christ. Now, I have so many things in my life that have got to be worked on. Don't say amen too loud over there, okay? I'm sorry, but I'm ready to say amen. But by the grace of God, they said what they... I'm just giving this as a testimony that this is what the Word of God does in our lives. You realize that all three of us men, we have things that we're carrying, we have burdens in our life. But they didn't say, I see you're in pain. I see you got problems. They said, we saw Christ. You know, the only way that happens, it's not because we're super spiritual. It's because this book right here reveals Christ in you and in me. We are imperfect people, all of us, only by the grace of God. I hope and pray as we consider these four verses in the book of James and a few other verses that we will behold our face, that we will stoop down and we get into the Word of God and we're looking for something until we find it. Not just, I finished my reading, time to go. Did I find something that I was looking for? And you know, when you go looking in the Word of God, God's going to say, okay, now we can get some work done. God's not going to go hiding behind a tree like Adam and Eve did. God's going to reveal himself to people that are beholding their face in the Word of God. Let's pray.